Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you, we praise you, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. We bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So we're going to go to the screen right now, and I'll be there just in a moment. Here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, How Unsearchable Are His Judgments? How unsearchable are His judgments? And a lot of times we think judgment is a bad thing. No. These are the things that God has decided to do. And we don't need to counsel God. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And if He judges certain things, that's who He is. And many of His judgments, like the title says, are unsearchable. We're going to see this in Scripture. So we're going to be in the book of Romans chapter 11, and we're going to read together 28 through 36, and here we go. And it reads, concerning the gospel, there are enemies for your sake, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. Praise God. Praise God. For the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. Did you catch that? I'm going to repeat that again. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. That means if God's called you, nothing can change His mind. It's settled. If He's called you, He's going to draw you to Himself. Amen. Here we go. Look at this, verse 30. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience. Wow. Okay, so God is talking to us Gentiles real quickly. What that means is because our Jewish friends were disobedient, right? They didn't want to listen to the truth. The Lord came to us Gentiles. Turn to your neighbor and say, God came to you. And then turn to your neighbor and say, God chose you. Woo! Thank you, God. So blessed to know that, isn't it? Look at verse 31. Even so, these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they also obtain mercy. Wow. Wow, look at that. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that He might have mercy on all. That's us. He's had mercy on us, amen? But He still has mercy on them. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. This is where I got my topic. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Meaning, who can know the mind of God? And who are we, who's formed out of clay that came from the dust, who are we to challenge God in whatever He decides to do? Amen? None of us can challenge God. For a lot of us, we've come to a conclusion in our life, yes and amen, Lord. Let Thy will be done. Perfect will. And look at verse 34. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become His counselor? Or who has first given to Him and it shall be, what? Repaid to Him. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Amen. So, one of the things that I just want to reiterate is God chose you. God chose me. But it was because of our Jewish friends at the time, and even till today, they're still disobedient to the gospel. So God came to us. Amen. They don't obey the truth. When Jesus was in front of them, they still didn't believe that was the Messiah to come. Isn't that something? He raised the dead. He healed the blinded eyes. He gave speech to those that were mute. He gave ability for those who were crippled and paraplegic. And yet they still didn't believe. And then he raised the dead. He raised Lazarus. He raised the little girl. And yet they still had a hardened heart. And so God said, okay, you're going to be disobedient in that. I'm going to just set you aside. And now I'm coming to the Gentiles. And so we're Gentiles. We're not Jews, are we? No, we're Gentiles. Listen, let me just say this. There's only two types of people in the eyes of God on this earth. Now, we have ethnic backgrounds, but notice it's still the same blood. It's one blood. So if a black person, a Hispanic person, an Asian person, a white person, if they cut their hand, the blood is still what? Red. Because we're made from all one blood. So he doesn't look at us in different ethnicities. The only thing he looks at is the Jews and us Gentiles. That's it. That's how he sees us. And so he set aside the Jews to come after the Gentiles to save us. Because we were, in the Old Testament, we were called heathens. We were dogs. That's right. We were idol worshipers. That's all we did back then. Back in those days, that's what the humans did that weren't part of the family of God. They didn't know the true and living God. So God chose to reveal himself to the Israelites. And guess what? That was his choice. Guess what? God chose to save you. There's others still not saved yet. But we can't say, God, that ain't fair. You know what I look at? Thank you for saving me, God. Thank you for saving a wretch like me. We pray for them to be saved, but God, thank you for saving me. I could have been still left out there. Can I get an amen? So we have to have a thankful heart and a hopeful heart at the same time. Thank you for saving me, and I'm hoping you save them. But if he never does, can we fault God for that? No. It's his entire universe that he created, and it's his perfect will. This is why there's not... In Revelation, he says, I'm going to wipe away every tear, every sorrow. No more pain, no more suffering, right? So when we get to heaven with him, we're not going to have no more sorrow, even for those who were left behind. Because if we start weeping for them, guess what? We still have that memory of sin. There's not going to be sin up there. And when we come back with him to reign for 1,000 years, there's not going to be sin on this earth. Wow. Isn't that something? We're going to live in a society with no sin. That's hard to imagine. There's someone dying every day. Someone getting murdered. Someone getting raped. Some babies right now, as I'm speaking, is being aborted right now. Help us, Jesus. All that's going to be done away with when he comes back. How many can't wait for that moment? Amen. Amen. Praise Amen. God. Thank you, God. So let's break this down. Let's go to verse 28. And it reads, concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. Wow. So Paul is speaking to the Gentiles in this entire audience that we're reading. In order, saints of God, for God to bring the gospel to them, he had to set the Jews aside, as I just mentioned, as if they were the enemies for having rejected the good news. But they weren't enemies. But he had to do what he had to do. Can I get amen? I'm glad he set them aside, because then he came after us. Yes. He pursued us. Yes. Look what I found in 2 Corinthians right up here. 2 Corinthians 3:13, to try to correlate with our message tonight. It says in verse 13, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded. Look at this. Their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. So those who come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, God removes the veil to see him. But our Jewish friends today, even today, who are still Jewish and they have no desire for Yeshua, no desire for Jesus, the veil is still covering their face because they cannot see him. Wow. Look at this in verse 15. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, look what it says here. The veil is taken away. Isn't that something? The veil is taken away by faith. So when we got saved, now we can see who Jesus is. How many remember when before you got saved, you want nothing to do with God? Don't want nothing to do with God. It was a religious thing. You know that? That's for church folk. You know? And my oldest sister used to walk down this Pentecostal church and come back and tell us, man, those are holy rollers down there. And I got filled with the Holy Ghost in one of those places. Years later. But as far as God's choices, saints, his election is concerned, the Jews are still his chosen people because of the promises to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So God still hasn't forgotten them. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
God will go back to them. And some of them are getting saved around the world. Jews are. But as a whole, those in Israel and those Orthodox and conservative and liberal Jews that live here in the United States. Did you know that we have the second biggest Jewish population in the United States? The first is Israel, and then here in the United States. But something drastic is going to happen because God's going to chase them back. So right now he's catching them. He's fishing them out to come back to Israel. But then when he wants more there, he's going to chase them out. He's going to chase them from around the world, and not just around the world, especially from America. Isn't that something? He's going to chase them. But why would he want them to go back there? Because when he returns, his feet is going to hit the Mount of Olives. He wants them all there to show them the nail-pierced hands and the side that was pierced for them. And then they're going to, most of them will believe, some will still reject. But that's why he wants them all there. And so that's why I can't wait. You know what? He saved us. So when he comes back, we're coming back with him. We're included in the 10,000s of saints, meaning the believers from the Old Testament, the believers in the New Testament, the believers today. When we get raptured out of here, we're coming back with him after 7 years being with him up in heaven to celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb. So we're going to celebrate that. We're going to celebrate the coronation of the King. And then he's coming back at the end of the tribulation and destroy all of his enemies. Listen, right now is a period of grace. This is the time to come to the Lord, surrender, just cry out, and boom, salvation takes place for people with a repentant heart. You don't want to give your heart to the Lord during the tribulation.
That's right.
Because in order to be saved, your head comes off.
That's right.
Yes. You will be beheaded. Because God will see now, because they said, forsake your God, or we're going to cut your head off. So the ones that get their head cut off is because they believed all the way unto death. And then God will restore and give them that brand new body like he's given us. But everyone then will come back with him. And we're going to have a front row seat on what he's going to do to the enemies here on earth. That's why the Bible says in Revelation, his robe is dipped in blood. What blood? Where did this blood come from? It's not his blood. He already shed his blood on the cross. So where is that blood coming from? The Bible says he's going to destroy all of his armies here on the earth. And the blood is going to There's going to be so much blood around the world, it's going to even touch the bridle of a horse. You know, you ever seen a horse where the bridle bit starts? That's how much blood that's going to be on the earth for all those he destroys. He's coming back as a man of war. So right now, he's a God of grace and mercy. Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. Right now, it's a heart cry from heaven. Our friend who we prayed for today, we went all the way to close to Escondido. And all my brothers, my oldest brother, G, my brother David, my brother Dale, myself, we came to an old friend today and we prayed for him. And we said, Jason Dunn. Jason knows a lot of the friends we hung out with back in the day. He graduated with G in his year. But he goes, Jason, God has a plan for you. Look how many people that we know have died already. And yet you're still here with us. That means God has a plan. And so we prayed for him. And he was given. We gave him a Bible, and he was literally crying. Because we had to come and build his faith. You see, because this is the time of grace still. This is a time where all you got to do is cry out to him. We're not in tribulation time yet. But there's going to be a day where it's going to be curtain call, and that's it. Grace will be over. Especially when God removes the church from this earth. Did you know it's going to be chaotic down here when we're gone? Let me just ask you this. How many loved ones do you know that you relate to every day? They're not saved, and then we're gone. It's going to be freaky to them. They're going to walk around in panic because they knew what we told them. It's going to start playing in their head. It's going to ring back over and over and over. They told me so. They told me so. And so I found another scripture that ties in with this, what we're speaking on tonight. Look at this in John 15:15. It says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Here it is. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Many of us here tonight, and those who are watching right now, many of us have been on this road with God for many years. Maybe some of you are just starting out. But let me just say this. In the 36 years that I've been a Christian, I'm always asking God, God, is there something that you need to prune back in my life? Then prune it, because you are the vine dresser. So prune those things in my life so that I can bring forth fruit. What is fruit? Good works. Sharing the gospel. Laying hands on the sick. Serving one another. Loving one another. There are so many things that bear fruit before God. You know, I used to think, man, does it just mean soul winning? No, that's part of it. Soul winning has a lot to do with it, but it's other things that we do for God that bears fruit. Praying. Interceding. Loving. Supporting. Support your church, support your ministry, support your pastors, your elders. Pray for them. And that's how you support them, through prayer and through loving them. God is good. And he's worthy. Look at this, verse 17. These things I command you, that you, here it is. Jesus said it, that you love one another. Look at this. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So listen, don't get mad when you share the gospel and, you know, you're walking with God and they don't, you know, they look at you with a weird look, or they may even talk behind you. Who do they think they are now? Don't be offended. Because Jesus said they're going to hate you. They may not say I hate you in front of your face, but sometimes behind a closed door, they're let them. Their fight is not against you. It's against God. It's against God. So don't take it personal. You don't have to get huffy and puffy and get back in their grill. Just, you know what? Just let it roll. Let it just like a duck. You know how the water would fall on a duck and then it would just slide down its back and off its tail. Let it just slip off you. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Thank you, God. And you'll enjoy the rest of that day. Praise God. Verse 29 in Romans chapter 11. For the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. Saints, the privileges and the invitation given to Israel can never be withdrawn. So, in other words, he called them to be a nation. And they did become a nation. But then when the Messiah came, they rejected him. But guess what? God's still not going to revoke his call for them to be saved. It's irrevocable. Guess what? Your salvation is irrevocable. God's going to throw you away like a dirty tail. Oh, I'm done with you. Boom, you're gone. No. Then why would he come to the cross to save you? Because we couldn't save ourselves. So he knows that we need him. Even when we fall short. And many of us fall short here. There ain't nobody in this room or viewing right now that's a perfect person. We're not. We all have these little things in our life that may not challenge you, but they may challenge me. Or the things that challenge me may not challenge you. But every one of us have challenges. We have choices. Sometimes we do things and we do it not, and it's not intentional that we're not pleasing God, but our flesh fails us. That's why we have an advocate. That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest for your soul. Confess your sin, because he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Aren't you so glad that we have an attorney, in fact, now? We have someone to represent us? Hallelujah, when Satan, old Slewfoot, tries to accuse you, because the Bible says in Revelation that he is accuser of the brethren. He slanders our name. Praise the Lord over there. I thought I saw someone on that side. Amen. Praise God. Hermana, she's here. Praise God. So look what I found. I found these scriptures to correlate what I'm saying. Look at what I found in Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has had mercy on you. And look at this. His peace, he will not remove his peace from us. You know what? Aren't you so blessed when you wake up? You have the peace of God in you. You don't wake up all, man, I wake up angry for nothing. Yeah. For no reason. Just waking up angry. For what? What are you mad about? But that was the way we rolled, huh? Because we didn't have the peace of God. Now that we have the peace of God, we wake up joyfully. Amen. We wake up with the peace of God. Now we can love someone that day and treat someone. Go bear fruit because of his grace, his love, his mercy that's on us. You see, God will not take back his gifts or withdraw his call. He will keep his promises. Even in the book of Numbers, look what I found in Numbers. God is not a man that he should lie. Look at that. Nor a son of man that he should repent. For he has said, and will he not do? Or he has spoken, and he'll not make it good? Behold, I have received the command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He has blessed our life. He's not going to take his hand of blessing away. Man, what he's done in our life It's done. Put a fork in it. He's not going to love you any more than he already loves you right now. And guess what? His love surpasses our understanding. And so while God will not take back what he has offered, we, the people, which Israel did, they rejected it. You know, God was good to them in the Old Testament. He was good to them. He parted the Red Sea. He fed them when he freed them when they were 400 years of tyranny and slavery. And they forgot what he did for them. And yet, he still loved them through it. He still gave them a land of milk and honey. He gave it to them. And yet, they rejected it. They built at that time a great city, Jerusalem. But the religious leaders who had the word of God, you got to remember, the rabbis are the only ones that had the scrolls. They could not believe when Jesus came finally. Remember when Jesus went to the wilderness for 40 days? He came back. The first thing he did was go into a synagogue and stand before the pulpit. Today, he says, prophecy has been fulfilled. And they could not believe it. Today, salvation has come to the house of God. Amen. Wow. Wow, thank you, God. And so, from that moment on, he had to shout that aloud, and it was written down. He had to proclaim his coming, because guess what? There was nobody there to receive him. There was no ticket parade party. Here comes Jesus from the wilderness. He's our Messiah. No. All they had was ill content. Wow. So Paul is making an application from God's characteristic, his faithfulness to the Jews, that anyone can rely on. Look what I found in 1 Timothy right here. Look at this. And, 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he remains what? Faithful. Because he cannot deny himself. So God will always be faithful to you. Even in the midst of rebellion. Even in the midst of your sin, even in the midst of saying, you know what, God, I know this is not right, but I still want to do this. And we get huffy and puffy and we go do it. And then the conviction comes upon us, and then we get chastised, and then we start, oh, God. But his grace is that he doesn't destroy us. Because he knows we live in this body of flesh that sometimes wants to have a Burger King life. Having it my way. Oh, come on. There's nothing we can point at in here because we're all the same. Can I get an amen? So God will do what he promises. You know why? You know why God will do what he says? Because look at what I found in Malachi. Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. You see, because of his call in their life, because of his grace toward their life, he will not consume them and destroy them for their rejection. All he did was this. Okay, I'm going to set you aside over here, and now I'm going to bless the Gentiles. And then I'll have my day with you. Praise God. Praise God. And guess what? We're going to see that day come when we're back with him after spending 7 years with him in heaven in the marriage supper of the Lamb, the coronation of the King. We're going to actually see God the Father coronate his Son in heaven as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Just imagine how many people are going to be there. When John went up to the third heaven, when Paul went up there, Paul said it best. He said, ears have not heard, eyes have not seen the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And then John saw a sea of people he couldn't even count no more. It was just a vast, it was like a sea of people up there. These are all the saints that are there. It's so vast up there. And we're going to be in that number. And guess what? Every one of us will all still be ourselves. You're going to know who you are up there. You're not going to be no robot up there. But there won't be no sin in your mind no more. Isn't that something? Wow. I can't wait. Hang in there. Don't let this world discourage you. Don't let what's happening to you right now discourage you. Because God still has yet the best to come. He's given us just little bits and pieces of goodness down here. He'll let you have a little slice of Hans and Harry cake down here. Amen. There's some good moments here on earth. You know, raising a family, loving your wife, loving your husband, raising up your children. He's giving you a good job. He's giving you shelter over your head. He's putting clothes on your back, food on your table. He's a good God. He's a merciful God. But that's just a tidbit. That's just something that he does because he takes joy in that. But what he has prepared for us is going to be mind-blowing. And we get to see it all. And we get to experience it with him. Amen? And so the Gentiles were rebels before they knew God. You and I, rebels without a cause. But they received God's mercy and offer of salvation because of Israel's disobedience. Wow. Now, having received from God something that they had lacked previously, saints of God, they could expect to keep on enjoying God's mercy. Look what I found in Ephesians right up here. Look at this. Oh, let's go to verse 30. For as you were once disobedient to God, he's talking now, Paul was talking about the Jews. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience. So the floodgates have opened up. The past 2,000 years, when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was ripped. It was torn from what? Bottom to top or top to bottom? Top to bottom. So it was ripped. That way, you know why it ripped from top to bottom? Because there was nothing that could get them that high to even rip it. You can rip it from the bottom because that's where, you know, the height of man. But this thing was huge and tall. And they didn't have, it would have been very difficult at that moment to rip the veil. And God ripped it. He opened it. And why did he open it? So that now you and I can come to the throne of grace.
Amen.
You and I now can come to the mercy seat of God. You and I can cry out to God and say, oh God, here I am, a sinner, like how you saved me. And then he'll just have you climb on his lap. And you can spend as much time with him as you want. Because he's a loving God. But what I found in Ephesians was this. Look at this. And you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Come on, you remember how you used to roll? Some of us, man, or I'm telling you, have some really tremendous testimonies. And then some may have, well, I've been a good person all my life, but I still needed Jesus. We don't have to have that radical. Listen, God knew who were his, and he saved us one by one. He saved us for 2,000 years. Look at this. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So there's still a group of disobedient people. Look at verse 3. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So let me just pause there. At one time, we were appointed unto wrath. But Jesus came to remove the wrath that was upon the human race. We were walking, as soon as we were birthed out of our mother's womb, guess what? We were walking as dead men on death row. Because the Bible says the wrath of God was appointed upon us. Even at birth. Even consumed or conceived in our mother's womb. It was still, we were under the penalty of sin and the wrath of God would have came upon us. But Jesus came to remove that, to reappoint us, to reassign us. Look at this. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. You have been saved by God's grace. It was God's grace and his mercy. Mercy. And by the same logic, saints of God, however, the Jews could also expect God to be consistent with his promises, even though they had for a time rejected his mercy. They rejected it. But look what else I found in Titus right up here. In Titus 3:3. For we ourselves were also once what? Foolish. We were disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures. You guys know my testimony. I know some of yours. We weren't right. Many of us, like my brother G would say, we would toe up from the flow up. Look at living in malice. You know what a malice life of living is? It's all about me. Don't tell me what to do. And if I want to chew you out with my mouth, I will. You know, it's just real arrogant living, malice living. Look at this. And envy. Hateful and hating one another. Man, I remember that's how it was in junior high and high school. We'd always say, what up? Always looking for a fight. But when the kindness of the love of God and our Savior toward man appeared, look at this. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but look at this. According to his mercy, he saved us. It was his mercy. He says, I'm coming down to this earth and I'm going to die for them and I'm going to have mercy on whom I'm going to have mercy on. And guess what? You and I tonight, those who are watching, those of us that are here, we are recipients of God's grace.
Amen.
We are the recipients of his mercy. This is why we should wake up every morning and be a thankful people. Yes. You may only have 10 cents in your pocket, but be thankful for that. Yes. Oh yeah, come on. Look at this. But according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing. Look at this. Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. In other words, his blood had to cover us. He had to wash us through his blood. And then he renewed us. Then we were regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And this is what causes us to walk around with joy unspeakable, full of glory. This is what causes us to walk around when we lay hands on the sick and watch them recover.
Come on.
Yes.
This is what causes us when we speak a word and then they will receive God's word. Then all of a sudden, they have a desire to get saved, even baptized. Because of the renewing that has taken place in us. I want us to look at this. You know what we are? We are a walking conduit. And God pours into us, and then we pour it out. So when you plug in an extension cord on the other end, you can plug in three other outlets now, right? It's like a conduit, right? And so God's plugged us in from above. So now we, what? We're outlets here. Here's power. Here's his love. Here's his grace. Here's his mercy. And then let it flow. Just let it flow. There's nothing for us to harbor. There's nothing for us to hold on to. We would just want to just listen. When you're letting it flow, he keeps pouring in. Thank you, God. He will keep pouring in you. And so, look at this. It says, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We're going to be joint heirs. How many of you have a living trust? If you understand what a trust is, in the trust there's a will. They always draw up a will in the trust. And in that will, there are pointed out heirs that where they will receive whatever you've left behind for them. It could be real estate. It could be a savings account. It could be jewelry. Some type of precious property that they want to convey now to the heir that would have it. Well, guess what? We have become heirs. So I need you to catch this. Everything that Jesus has in heaven has become ours. Because we're joint heirs with Christ. Everything. Everything. And one of the things is eternal life.
Amen.
Eternal life. Praise God. So let's move on to verse 31 in Romans chapter 11. Even so, these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown, they also may obtain mercy. And so what that means is, because of their disobedience, like we've been talking about tonight, God showed mercy on you and I. And from Paul's time onward, saints, Israel has been rebellious to God because of their refusal to accept salvation in Christ. Some of them still. Pray for Temple Beth Shalom. I drove by there. I drove by there yesterday. No, today. Yesterday morning I was at my eye doctor. I was driving down 2nd May. No, not 2nd. It was 3rd. I made a right on 2nd. And then I drove by Temple Beth Shalom. They got a giant banner, huge banner in their grass. It says, church lease for Sunday and midweek. They need a church to go in there. So they're looking for another church to go in there. And we were there for 13 years. Isn't that something? Listen, here's God's providence in this. We were there for 13 years. And our lease was coming to an end. And another church offered them $100 more than us after we had a track record of 13 years. And they let us go for them. They only lasted so long and they didn't even make it 6 months. And then the rabbi called me, Reverend Fee, are you interested in coming back? I go, no, Rabbi. That day has come and gone. But thank you. And we'll pray for you that someone will come in and rent your facility. But God is good. He is good. And though they began with an advantage due to God's gracious choice of them as his people, by being disobedient, saints, the Jews had proved themselves equally needing God's mercy in time. And let me just say this. They're going to want his mercy when he lands his feet on the Mount of Olives. So look what I found in Ephesians 2:12. Look at this. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. That's us. Now he's talking to us Gentiles. And strangers from the covenants of promise. But man, we were strange to all their Ten Commandments, their rules and regs and all that. Having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by what? By the blood. It was nothing else but God's blood. He's the one that saved us. We couldn't enter into this covenant without the blood.
That's right.
That's why he went to the cross. He just didn't go to the cross for them. He came to the cross for us as well. Praise God. And Israel will receive mercy because as soon as all the elect of the Gentiles have come, then God's mercy again will be directed to Israel. He didn't forget them. Because he made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so there are those who will turn to him. And there are going to be some that won't. And that's on them, right?
That's right.
That's on them. God's a gentleman. He's not gonna bring anyone against their will. Thank you, God. And so whenever God shows mercy to one group, the other one shares the blessing. And you know what I mean by that? Because the gospel, the scriptures, the word of God first came to the Jews. And guess what? We got blessed because of them. Every writer of the book in the Bible was written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but they were what? They were Jews. Except one. Who can think of the one that wasn't?
It wasn't.
Luke.
Oh no.
Luke. Praise God. He's the one that wrote the book of Acts. Did you know that? Okay. So, when the Jews rejected this mission, God blessed the Gentiles anyway through the Jewish Messiah. So you got to remember, our Messiah, our Lord and Savior, he is Jewish. He is not a Gentile. Can I get that? Can I get an amen with that?
Amen.
And so the church is not to change him. He needs to change the church. Because there's a lot of churches that are walking around with replacement theology. You know what replacement theology is? They believe that God is done with Israel now and that we're the new Israel, the church. Uh-uh. This is a grace period for the Gentiles to get saved. And then he's going back to save the rest of them. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He hasn't forsaken them. Because if he forsook all of them, guess what? That means he could forsake us. We just read that he made a covenant with them. So how would he reject them totally? No, he's going back to them. Can I get an amen? Because that's his promise. His promises are yes and amen. This is why we can take assurance. This is why we can embrace the gospel. This is why we can embrace his promises. Because God will never break a promise. He'll never break his covenant with us. And he won't break his covenant with them. Can I get an amen in the house? Come on, give them a shout of praise in the house. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And so we're getting close to closing this out, but let's keep on going. Let's look at verse 32 in Romans chapter 11. For God has committed them to, look at this. For God has committed them all to disobedience that he might have mercy on all. And so, saints of God, I need you to hear this. When Adam sinned, all humanity sinned with him. And the Bible says we're all sinners. Can I get amen? When people choose to follow their own passion and desires, they are imprisoned in their disobedience. Oh, come on. Before I got saved, I was in prison on obeying or disobeying, number one, God's rules. I was disobedient and suffering from not listening to my parents.
Yes.
Not listening to my teachers. Come on, we lived a life of rebellion. I did. I know. You know, I kind of like, yeah, I got a high school diploma, but it was like I skated by. It wasn't well deserved. It wasn't with honors. I wasn't a valedictorian. I wasn't. It just said my name, Blasivo Fausto Sullivan, Kearney Mesa, here. That's it.
There he goes.
But my mom thought it was awesome because my mom was there.
Amen.
We have a picture of that, honey. She was there. My mom was there on my graduation. And so I remember she came because I was the first out of my 11 brothers and sisters to graduate high school. Amen. First. I was. He's not as smart as them, but he's smart enough for me. That's all that mattered, right? Yep, let mama be happy. God then is willing to have mercy on all who come to him. Amen? For a beautiful picture of the Jews and Gentiles experiencing rich blessings, you can see it throughout all of Scripture in the Old Testament, how good he was. You can see how good he was even in the New Testament. But look what I found here in Galatians to try to correlate this verse of Scripture right here. In Galatians 3:22, look at this. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. This is what we told our friend Jason Dunn today. You know, it's not for you to figure this out. It's for you to believe. And once you start believing Jesus, he will open up your eyes of understanding. He'll open up your mind. And you will embrace. You will then embrace him. Look at verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law. So in other words, we were under the law before we came into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. We were kept guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. So we came into this world. I got saved at 30. I don't know what year you got saved, but all that time, he knew that faith would come to us so that we can believe. Amen. He says this right here, which would afterward be revealed. And it was revealed to me at the age of 30. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. The law, I need you to catch that. Tutor means the law was our teacher, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. So do you know why? Who's teaching us now? Jesus. He's teaching us. The Holy Spirit's teaching us now. He's our tutor, right? So the law pointed us to the cross. The law says we were actually condemned. But it was still pointing us to the cross. And when we came to the cross, that's where we found grace and mercy. And a loving God waiting right there for us. Amen. To show us how much he loved us. And how many believe God loves you? He will always love you. All the way till we go home to be with him. Look at this in verse 33 now, Romans 11. We're coming in. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable, this is where I got my topic tonight. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Look at that, saints. Paul bursts into a song of praise as he concludes his entire book in chapter 11. Look at this. All the depth of the riches of both the wisdom and knowledge of God. And then he goes, how unsearchable. Meaning, you and I will never understand his mind. We will never understand the depths of his mercy. We'll never understand the depths of his goodness. We'll never understand the depths of his love. But yet, it's so vast, it's beyond our comprehension. So I found some scriptures to help us with this, to at least see what Paul was talking about here on this verse of scripture. And look at this in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Look at this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Listen, our thoughts are limited. His thoughts are vast. It's without any boundaries. Amen. We cannot lock away his wisdom. All we can do, saints of God, seriously, all we can do is cherish them. Amen. And praise him. And adore him. And love him. And be thankful that he saved a wretch like us. And when you walk around with that kind of heart of thankfulness, that's when he starts blessing your life left and right. You know why? Because you're not a complainer. You're a lover. You're a lover of him. You're a lover of his word. And you're a lover of his people. You learn to love people. And that's the key. Look at this. I found this in Job. Job 11:7. Look at this. Can you search out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than heaven. What can you do? Deeper than Sheol. Meaning, as high as the heavens are, which is beyond infinity, they're even deeper. Sheol, you know what Sheol is? Hell. How deep hell is, they're deeper than that. What can you know? Their measure is longer than the earth and broader, what? Than the sea. So saints tonight, don't try to figure out God. Just believe God by faith. Just believe Him by faith, what He has done in your life, what He's doing in your life, and what He's about to do in your life. Do you trust God with your life? Trust God with your life. No matter what you're going through, whether it's mentally, physically, whether it's financially, relationally, trust God and watch Him complete what He started in you. Everything that He has started in us, He's going to complete it. Because He's faithful. He's faithful. Let's look at verse 34. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become His counselor? Did you catch that? Who are we to refute what is already written? Who are we to say that, God, you just don't know how I feel? Yes, He does. He created you. He knows you. But you don't know, God. But you don't know. No one knows. Oh, yes, He does. Oh, yes, He does. Because He's the only one that could truly know our mind and our heart. He sees the deep crevices that we don't see. All of our faults and failures, He sees it. And He always has a remedy for us. He's for us, not against us. Look what I found in Proverbs 34. Look at this right up here. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Can we honestly say we've been up into the heavens? No. I think the last time we've been anywhere, mankind, was on the moon back in the 60s. The moon. Look at this. Who has bound the waters in a garment? You know how vast the oceans are? Can you harness that? Look, before we go on with that, you ever notice that when you go to the beach, there's a shoreline, and the water only comes up to that, and then it goes back. The tides bring in and out, right? He controls that. He controls everything. He controls that as the hours go by in this, the rest of this day, in the morning, the sun will come up again. He went, boom, I'm putting that ball of fire for them. And it'll heat them. They'll get nourished from it. And then they'll take a break from it. It'll go down. And everyone around the world will experience the sun. In every part of the world. Once a day. He's given us air to breathe. He's given us enough water to drink. Food to eat. He has done it. Never for one moment think, oh, you know, the government helped me, or God or man has done this. And no, He has made all things. Can I get an amen?
Amen. Amen.
We have to be a people that will defer everything to Him. It was God. It was God. Oh, yes, God. Thank you for creating me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. Whenever you feel unloved, guess what? He loves you. Whenever you get chastised or talked about, guess what? He still loves you. Go to Him, and He will show you what I'm talking about. And then Job picked it up in Job 38. Look at this. In Job 38, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? So, who's asking these questions?
God.
God is asking Job.
Because Job was like, but Lord, look what happened. But Lord, these three guys that came to me and they all had their opinions and what do I believe? But God, but God, but God. But yet he never cursed God. He never doubted God. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with Job asking questions. This is why we need to have that private time with God. Why did this happen? God, why is this allowed? God, what plan is this for me in this situation? This trial that I'm going through, God? God, how are you going to get the glory out of this? Let me know, God. Because you know what? I want you to be a part of whatever I go through, knowing that you already are part of it. But I need to know that you are already in control. And sometimes we got to convince ourselves that he already knows. But so God was asking Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? So were you out there with your 36-foot measuring tape? Look at that. And I know it's ridiculous, but that's what he's asking. He's asking Job. Look at this. Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened to? In other words, what holds the water together? What holds the land together? What holds everything together? Who created the animals on this earth? Who made the air perfect so that you can exist with the lungs I created in you?
Amen.
We're going to have a future pulmonary nurse with us. And she's learning about the lungs that God created.
Amen.
So I need you to remember, this, okay? When we go to study about the anatomy, when we go to school like you're going, all right? This is something that we're studying that he has created. So this is why we're called Dr. So-and-so, Nurse So-and-so, Practitioner. Because we're just practicing on what he created. And we're trying to perfect that so that, I'm not knocking it, to bless others. It's to be a blessing for God's people. So he wants to give you the knowledge and the wisdom. He wants you to increase your knowledge and your wisdom of what he created so you can be a blessing to others.
Amen.
Woo, come in. We serve Almighty God. No, come on, that's a like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing in our life. Woo. Man, I heard a shout from the garage. I don't know who that is. Yeah, let everything have breath. Praise the Lord. Look at this. To what were its foundations fastened, or who laid its cornerstone? Man, those are great questions, huh? Guess what? Job had no answer. It was you, Lord. It was you, Lord. It was you, Lord. It wasn't us. We're just being stewards of the planet he made. Look what I found in Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. And he did. Did you know this is, even though there's sin in this world, it's still, he made it perfect for us to live on this planet, to survive on this planet, to breathe the air, to drink the water, as I mentioned, all these things. Look at this. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts. Listen, before you got saved, we weren't thinking about eternity spending with him. We weren't thinking about, man, I'm going to have this new body. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to praise him. No, we were living for self and sin. We had no mind, but he put eternity in our hearts now.
Amen.
Isn't that something? Knowing that we're going to live forever to be with him. So he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. And he's not asking us to figure it out. You know what God is saying? Trust him in all things.
Right.
He's been a good God. He's been merciful to us. Look at this. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice
and to do good in their lives. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all of his labor. Listen, I need you to catch that in. What is it? This planet, our life, is a gift. This is not a curse. It's a gift to us. How many love gifts?
Amen.
I hope my wife gets blessed past her socks with gifts. Because everyone loves gifts on their birthday. I know that. But those who love to give gifts, you receive them. With a thankful.
Yes.
Okay. So she knows the gift that I'm giving her. It's in May, because we talked about this. I'm taking her to 3 nights in Tennessee. Nashville, Tennessee. Those of you who listen to K-Love, it's the K-Love Awards. And every worship group is going to be there. And so that's going to be my birthday gift to her. And we already... Yeah, what up? Yeah, but what about Sunday? We'll wait for that day to come. We'll wait for that day to come. Here we go. Look at this. Let's look at verse 35. Look at verse 35. Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him. Wow, look at this. Paul quotes loosely from Job, throughout the book of Job, to point out that God is in sovereign control. We can't tell God what to do. Can I get amen?
Amen.
He is not in our debt. We are in his. Look what I found here in Job 41:11. Who has preceded me that I should pay him? Everything under heaven is mine. God owns everything. He owns everything we have on here. Even our job, our money, our houses. He owns everything. He just said, be good stewards of it. Take care of what I've left here for you to enjoy your life. We only get 80 maybe, 90 maybe. Some people don't get to 80 or 90. They go home at 70s. We don't know when the end comes, but I had a good, really good conversation with my friend Marv. And I go, Marv, you're 67, I'm 66. I said, we're already 3/4 of our life already used up. We got a quarter left. He goes, What do you mean? I go, Marv, we got a quarter left. It could be 20 for us. It could be 15. But that's what's left. He goes, I didn't see it that way. I go, so live every day as though it was our last and rejoice every day. Don't fear for that day because it's going to come anyway. Love that during that day. Rejoice during that every day that God gives us. He gives us one day at a time. Look what I found in Acts 17. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands. Look at this. As though he needed anything. Since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made, remember I told you earlier? He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. So once again, that proves what I said earlier. He doesn't look at Mexicans and blacks and whites and Asians. No. The human race is one blood.
Amen.
And is separated between two groups, Jews and Gentiles. And we're Gentiles. So we're clumped up with every ethnicity. But the Jews are the Jews. And those are his also called out people as well. So look at this. And has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Wow. Verse 27. So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each and one of us. God's not far. People think he's a million miles away. I used to say, man, when I was living as a sinner, man, God was a million miles away. No, guess what? He was 18 inches away. What do you mean by that? From the mouth to your heart. That's how far away God is. You confess the Lord with your whole heart. He comes in. You cry out to him. He's right there. Because the Bible says he's omnipresent. He fills all space. He's everywhere at once. So he's not a million miles away. He's here with us. He holds and consists all things together. He keeps everything. He keeps the gravity perfect so we don't flow away. Like the balloons, the precious balloons I had hanging there in my office on my birthday. They finally started coming down. Because, you know, I kept them as long as they had the helium in it. And then they just started losing their helium. And I go, oh, it's time to say goodbye to them. But thank you, whoever got them for me. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. So, let's move on now to verse 36. I think there's one more verse after that. Or no. We're ending at 36. So this is the last verse in Romans chapter 11. And it reads, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be the glory forever. Amen." So God is the creator. He's the sustainer. He is the omega of all life. Everything comes from him and is for him. And what is it used for? His glory. God is almighty and all powerful. But even more so, saints of God, he cares for us personally. This is what I marvel at. Of all the intricate things that he's made in this world and the vast universe. You know, when you look at through a Hubble telescope lens, there's galaxies after galaxies after galaxies. There are billions and trillions of light years away from each other. And that is so vast. And yet he created this tiny little planet in our solar system, in the Milky Way solar system. And he came, created that just for us, and he came to this earth to die for us. Come on, wrap that around our beady minds. He chose to do that for you and I. And it still baffles me that what he did for you and I. And then we're going to rule and reign with him. This is how much he loves you. This is why he will not ever forsake us. Because it was a great cost to God the Father's Son to die and shed his blood for you and for me. So we owe him everything. And guess what? We have nothing to pay him back but of our heart of praise. Amen. That's all we can give him. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We exalt you. We magnify you. And guess what? That's all he wants from us. To worship him. Just imagine you had the authority and power to create something, and then it became alive, and that little tiny thing would turn around and look at you and say, "I love you. Thank you for making me." Just imagine how he feels. He created us. In our tiny little mouth, "Hi, from the Lord, God bless you." And when you start understanding the Hebraic root, and you know, when I give the benediction, "May the Lord bless you and keep you, may the Lord," when you break that down in the Hebraic root, it's like he has come into your presence on bended knee. And he holds you up like a little baby. And he looks face to face like you hold a little child. Because it's showing that he came to serve us. Amen. To love us. Man, that's how much love he has for us. Amen. When you start learning the depth of his love, that he's for us, not against us. Man, you'll have a paradigm change. You'll think differently about him. Now, he's not a God up there waiting for me to just hit me on the head with a bat. No. Look what I found in Colossians as we come for a close. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that on the earth. And that on the earth. Visible and invisible. Meaning the invisible are things that Paul said are more vast than the things that we see. See, we can see this room in here. We can see outdoors. We can see the stars if it's not too lit up around the city. We can see all these and we can see the sun. Okay? But the invisible world, Paul said, is more vast. Thank God that he does not allow us to see the invisible world. We would freak out. We would freak out. That's why he doesn't allow us to see it. So look at this. He created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him all things consist. So everything that I spoke of earlier, the whole entire galaxy, the universe, our solar system, the sun, the moon, our atmosphere, everything that we talked about tonight, he created all things and he causes it all to consist. Meaning he does not allow it to evaporate, to fade away, to be crushed, to be deteriorated. In all things, it consists with him. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead. Notice he says the firstborn of the dead. He's the first to rise from the grave. And he's promised us that we would have a body like his. That in all things, he may have the preeminence. Praise God. All things, he has the preeminence. That means there's nothing that we can say we had a hand in. It was all him and God alone. And so Paul began his letter with this statement that God left his imprint on the world he created, but that the human beings of that creation, unfortunately, because of Adam and Eve, chosen to rebel. But look what it reads in Revelation. We close with the scripture. In Revelation 4:11. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Aren't you so blessed to know that, saints? And so as we close this out tonight, maybe, just maybe, you're watching on YouTube. I don't know if we ever came back on Facebook, but who cares? I think we're just going to keep it YouTube now. Too many problems with Meta. Is it Meta? Meta? Too many problems with that. We're going to probably just stick to YouTube. But you know what? God is good. And he's worthy to be praised. And what I'll do, though, is I'll notify Facebook and give a link where they can just click on and go to YouTube. But I want to pray for those who maybe never surrendered their life to Christ. Maybe, just maybe, you never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I truly believe, my friends, that God wants to do something so miraculous in your life. And all you have to do is receive him by faith. We all came by faith through God's mercy and his grace, as we've been reminded tonight. But what about you? What about you? Because I know for a fact, everyone here, we have given our heart to you, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're here to grow by God's grace in our faith. Because the Bible says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And so that's why we're here. And so I'm going to ask by faith that you would receive the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you. And expect God to do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Come on, he's worthy. Is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.